Clint Sterner's out today. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texan, is riding with your boy Ron, the show Hughley. And Wade, we got to get back where we were going because I think there's more on that, man. I was watching like Golden State or the Rams of 99, you know, those teams. And the thing that you could think about those teams, this is in really any sport, is, man, they put pressure on opposing defenses every time they have the ball. Hell, with Golden State, man, you got to get them jokers before they cross half court. And you have to be guarding them for 24 seconds the entire way. The Rams, out on the field, you were stressed about different things they were going to beat. And you had to always be there and understand your matchups and everything. And there were no ways you could breathe for four quarters. When I look at what the Texans have, I think that is the type of offense they should have, to where they're putting pressure on them and they're putting, and you said it, they've got the parts, but you don't know if they're going to be utilized the right way because of the game plan offense. We've been hearing that this is going to be coming out of the eyes of Tim Kelly. All right. And this is supposed to be different eyes. That's what the hell Cecil Shorts told me yesterday. It's supposed to be at least a bit of different eyes. Are you not convinced that we will now maybe – because that's what he said. I love what he said when he spoke. He said, I got to start looking at the game through the eyes of Deshaun. Do you have reservations that they will actually get rid of the game plan offense and do things through the eyes of their best players?
Yeah, I tell you what, the way that they have built this roster, it lends you to believe that they will continue to do the game plan offense and be week to week, because – They put themselves in a scenario where you have multiple receivers that can play multiple spots, and they're kind of similar into their skill sets. A bunch of really fast guys, I wouldn't say undersized, but they don't have a bunch of big receivers, but they have a bunch of targets that can put all over the place. And it reminds me more of what it was like in New England with Tom Brady, when you look at their receiving corps, where they had a bunch of little guys that were running all over the place, running crossing routes, and they just said, Tom, find the open guy, hit him. 1 week, this guy's going to go for 8 catches and 132 yards. It might be Deion Branch. The other week, it might be somebody else. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. And so the way – when you bring in a Brandon Cooks as a guy and Brandon Cooks talked about this a little bit too in his interview that he did the other day, of there being multiple guys that can make plays and multiple guys that you wouldn't necessarily – they won't feel some type of way because they're not getting their targets. Not to say anybody in the past felt that way, but – for the guys that are still here, they're not going to feel upset because they're not getting their targets, because they're just looking at it, hey, like, hey, whoever's open is going to get the ball, and that's how we're going to operate as an offense. To me, that resides in the game plan deal, because a week-to-week deal, because you're basing it off of what the defense gives you. You know what I mean? If you're saying, I'm only going to throw it to the guy that's open, and if nobody's open, who do you throw the ball to? But if you're only going to throw it to the guy that's open, then you're basing it off what the defense does, as opposed to saying, I have Duke Johnson, David Johnson, and Brandon Cooks, and I have Will Fuller. What are the ways that I can figure out to get these specific guys in the right spots so that they can go make their plays? Because I know I can create mismatches on whoever you line up against them. Like if Duke Johnson, if I put him out wide at receiver, I know these guys can't cover him. So are we going to continue to put him out there and figure out ways? But we're going to make sure he gets his touches, because we know if he gets his touches, now defenses have to honor that it's opening up other things. It just lends me to think that you're still going to have the game plan offense, and they're still going to have some success. Can they sustain the success? That's the question.
Wade, why did you do that?
I'm just going to be honest. That's what I do.
I can't say your dream.
I can't say your dream.
I've been thinking it's like, oh, now they've got it together, and they've got so many different. I looked at this, and I was like, they don't have one person to just dominate the game plan, and now Deshaun will be forced to now look at everything. But what you just said makes such damn sense. It just ticks me off, because now – what you're basically saying is they got a group of players on this team that are more adaptable to a certain game plan a week. They put themselves in a position where, like, they knew, at least they knew, DeAndre's there. We know sure as hell We got to get him touches. So, I mean, no matter what, we got to get him touches. Now they put a group together where Cooks, Fuller, Cobb, Stills, Johnson, they're more adaptable to probably be able to sway at every game plan. That just, see, I hate that. Why don't you be the dictator? Why don't you be, like, to me, when I watch Houston Texans football this year, Wade, the best thing, one of the best things that Deshaun does is he throws one of the best deep balls. I've said it in the game. Only PFF only had Russell Wilson as the better deep ball thrower in 2019. It's one of the best things he does, and he's got three guys that run 4-3s. They should throw at least 5-6 go routes a game. I don't give a rip who they're playing. I don't care. That should be the game plan. They should dictate that stuff. But now the way that you just so eloquently put that and made that make so much more sense with the new guys they've added, it feels like they're still going to go into the game and say, you know what? What the Chiefs do well is they rush the passer, so we're just going to get the ball out quick every time and not explore the best thing that we do. See that? You just absolutely just took my whole joy away from me in these last 5 minutes.
I didn't mean to take your joy away, but I tell you what, Bill O'Brien and that whole New England philosophy is we're going to figure out ways for whoever we're playing to take the cheese. And so when I say take the cheese, you're talking about how they should throw the Texans should throw 4 or 5 deep balls every game. If the defense they're playing against says, you know what, we are going to play deep, we're going to play off coverage, we're not going to allow you to be as deep, the Texans are going to continue to dink and dunk and make plays that way and move the ball down the field. And they're going to hope for the defense that they're playing against to get frustrated, get tired of getting beat bit by bit, and then that's when they'll hit the deep play, right? There's something to be said for that. That's a legitimate thought process, right? But I would contend that I would rather you say, you know what, I'm going to draw up a route combination, and I'm gonna by alignment and assignment and personnel, I'm going to create opportunities to get those deep balls thrown one-on-one. And to me, that's what I see when I watch the Kansas City Chiefs play. And you've seen them up and down the for years you've been watching how Andy Reid has been able to maneuver that offense and Eric Bieniemy be able to maneuver that offense. Those guys figure out ways to get Ty Hill deep shots.
They'll force it. They'll force it.
They'll force it, or they're created by with the route combinations. They're going to find a way. You'd be like, how the hell is Ty Hill wide open on this play? Because of the route combinations they drew up to get him open deep. That's to me, the difference between the two. And the Texans have to try to figure out a way to progress to get to that point. Because they have, to me, when you look at it player for player, they're very similar to Kansas City. They don't have a tight end like Travis Kelce, but – they're very similar player for player when you talk about the speed and ability of their receiving corps, guys that can make plays. They're very similar to the Kansas City Chiefs just based off of their playmaking ability.
The Chiefs is a team that does that. They put pressure on teams all the time, and they're going to – and you're right, man. They don't go in – they don't come in saying, this team excels at covering – the ball down the field, covering receivers down the field, so therefore we're going to not do it. No, the best thing that Tyreek Hill does is scare the hell out of people, right? Like, that's the best thing he does, and they're going to do it because it forces people. Like, when teams play the Texans, there should be stress every play. And tell me if I'm wrong, Wade. There should be stress every play when you got Deshaun and you got Fuller and you got Cooks on the outside, guys that can take the top off every time, two guys that is going to be difficult for you to double-team both of them. That should put fear. And then when you actually do it, when you don't utilize that, you let them off the hook. And that, that has to be. You said it, Duke and David Johnson. I can't understand a game plan, Wade, that would have David or Duke, especially Duke Johnson, not being implemented as a passing threat. That one for the team doesn't make sense to me. So I don't know. That was that point you made about the fact that the new guys they brought in would lend you to think even more they'll stick to this game plan defense. That was a strong take.
Yeah, because when you think about it, people and people on the text line talking about this now, you can't what you can do with DeAndre Hopkins at one spot, the team that you're playing against knows that you're going to try to get him the ball. So they'll base their coverages based off of DeAndre Hopkins. Now, if you draw up routes with the other players and utilize them the right way, you can use that as a huge advantage to you. But when you have guys in and out of the lineup on the other side, talking about Will Fuller, talking about KQT, talking about, you know, the very Kenny Stills missed some games last year. When guys are in and out of the lineup, now you don't know what you're going to get from that position, that opposite receiver position. And so Deshaun Watson, the smartest thing to do is to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. And so to me, by them saying we're going to get rid of D-Hop and we're going to get multiple receivers, to me it says now we really are going to go 100% in with this game plan offense. And from week to week, it doesn't matter. If we lose a guy, we still got somebody else that can replace him. And there's something to be said for that. I think that way of doing things legitimately will keep them in the fray. That'll keep them in the mix. The Texans, in my opinion, are going to win at least 10 games this year. I got them winning 10 games this year.
Me too.
So if they win 10 games this year, they're in the fray. But can they get over the top? And that's what Texans fans are waiting for. What can the Texans do to get over the top? To me, I would be so excited if the Texans would have kept DeAndre Hopkins and traded for Brandon Cooks, or kept DeAndre Hopkins and traded for Randall Cobb, or signed Randall Cobb as a free agent, and it improved on what you already had and built upon it, as opposed to taking away and then putting it back together. Because now, at best, you're basically going to be around the same thing. You're going to be around the same offense. You're going to be around the same, you know, how far you get in the playoffs. If you truly go all in and say, you know what, we're going to have Hop and we're going to trade for Brandon Cooks and we don't have draft picks, but our receiving core is ridiculously good. Try to stop us. Now everyone is a believer. Everyone is a believer. Could you think about all these different prognosticators and the Bill Barnwells of the world saying that the Texans had the worst offseason out of all 32 teams. Imagine what they would have said about the Texans if DeAndre Hopkins was still here and they traded for Brandon Cooks. What would they be saying about just that one deal? And there's no David Johnson here. You re-signed Carlos Hyde. What are they saying about the Texans? Hey, these guys made the move to put them on over the top, because now if Will Fuller goes down, you got Brandon Cooks. Because everybody knows that constant with DeAndre Hopkins is going to be there. Now that constant is not there, the guy that's going to be there week in and week out. And so now you have uncertainty again, and that's kind of where we are as a franchise.
Warren Moon joined us yesterday, Smitty, and I asked him a question about Deshaun Watson. I said, would you be shocked if Deshaun Watson never won a Super Bowl? His answer coming up next. Wade Smith, run the show, Hughley, in with you today. Having a blast, having a lot of fun, loving to hear the passion from you. And we had one of the, I'd say, Houston sports legends, Warren Moon of the Oilers, played with the Oilers, NFL Hall of Famer. He was on with us yesterday. If you missed that, the easy thing you can do right now is hit that radio.com app, baby. Go ahead and check that out. And listen on the podcast page, radio.com. Go to Clint Sterner. You can go right through and find that Warren Moon interview in the 4 o'clock hour. And he was really, really great. But there was something that he said, and I posed this question to him, and I said, would you be shocked if Deshaun Watson, through his career, never won a Super Bowl? This was his response.
Yeah, I'd really be surprised. I'd be more surprised than shocked, only because you just don't know what's going to happen with Bill O'Brien and the way he handles the personnel there in Houston. They've been kind of up and down in a lot of different areas. They haven't had a consistency there that you need to have, a core group that you need to have in order to win a Super Bowl. And I think that's what Patrick so far has had at Kansas City. You know, he's had the same offensive coordinator. He's had the same head coach. He's had the same quarterback coach, and he's had the same group of receivers around him. And I think all of that helps as far as creating that continuity and that chemistry that you need in order to win a championship. So as long as the Houston Texans stop making all these changes that they're making, I think they'll be able to create some of that same continuity that will help Deshaun win a championship.
That was Warren Moon, Wade, and luckily for Patrick Mahomes, he's been able to keep his offensive coordinator for years because for some reason he's different than Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, Cliff Kingsbury, Zach Taylor. What other offensive coordinators just keep getting jobs? Somehow he doesn't. But he's been able to keep the continuity with Eric Bieniemy somehow, and that's been big for him. And that is something, I mean, you could say, I mean, Deshaun is keeping the continuity with Tim Kelly, and he's had Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien there for most of his career. I agree with Warren. I would be surprised, borderline shocked. Now, Wade, if you didn't know it, Bridget knows it. I have a healthy relationship, a healthy feeling of fandom for Deshaun Watson. He is my favorite player in the NFL. So, I mean, I probably have more belief than others. But, yeah, I would be borderline shocked if by the end of his career he doesn't have one.
Yeah, I tell you what, when the Houston Texans traded up to draft Deshaun Watson, I was like, the Texans did it, and they're going to win a Super Bowl. Like, it's going to happen. Like, he's one of those guys, he's one of those transcendent talents that figures out ways to win ball games. You saw what he did when he was with Clemson, where you go to the national championship game back-to-back years, the way he pretty much dominated the Alabama Crimson Tide defenses, and those defenses were some of the best defenses that you've seen in the past, I don't know, 15, 20 years in college football, and he ran through them like they weren't there. And so you knew that, all right, you bring him here, you couple him with a guy like Hop, you couple him with some of the pieces that were already in place. Dwayne Brown was here at the time. There's a lot of pieces that were still in place offensively. And so you said, hey, it's going to happen. They're going to make this happen. They're going to win a Super Bowl. As time has gone on and some of those pieces have been moved around, you kind of – your whole philosophy and your whole belief in, like, no, he's going to figure out a way, it starts to diminish. And I think that's a realistic thought. Your thoughts that he's going to win a Super Bowl here under the current situation, they start to diminish. But I'm of the camp that says Deshaun is still that guy to figure out a way. I think he's elite. I think he'll figure out a way to whether it may be, hey, I figure out a way with the guys that I have, or if the people above me aren't doing what I need them to do, I flex my muscles. I get to the point where I flex my muscles where I say I need to get somebody in here that does get the people around me that I need, and we go forward that way. But some way, shape, form, or fashion, he's going to win a Super Bowl in Houston. I just truly believe that. So I would be shocked. I've gotten to the point, I'm still would be shocked. But when you hear someone say, yeah, you know, based off of the moves that Bill O'Brien's making, it makes you not necessarily believe as much in Deshaun Watson. You say it's not his fault, it's somebody else's fault. I can see that line of thinking. But to me, some people just have it. Some guys are winners. Some guys figure out a way to get it done. Deshaun Watson is one of those guys. He's always been one of those guys his entire life. You don't just stop figuring out a way. You just keep being you. He is who he is, and he's a winner. He's a champion. And so I think he's going to bring a championship here to the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I totally agree with Warren Moon. Houston, you can go ahead and weigh in on this text line, 713-572-4610. Do you believe what would your feeling be? Would you be shocked if Deshaun Watson, by the end of his career, didn't win a Super Bowl? I agree, as Warren Moon said, he would be surprised. This is it. And for those of you who think that me and Wade are crazy, I want to present this case to you. All right. I look, and just like you said, Wade, I look at Deshaun, and I think he is an elite quarterback. I think he was a top five quarterback last year. Name five quarterbacks that were better than Deshaun last year, and I'll wait. You can't. I don't believe you can. The three that come to mind is Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson. There is not another quarterback last year that I would say was better than Deshaun Watson, with the exception of those three. Not one. So I think he is an elite quarterback, a top five, top four style quarterback in this league. I think he's special. And the league has let us know in the last 25 years, elite special quarterbacks win Super Bowls. Even Wade, with the greatest dynasty we potentially have seen in the NFL, you could argue with the New England Patriots over the last 20 years, almost every single elite quarterback has won a Super Bowl. Sports Drop, they did their top 25 or top 11 quarterbacks in the last 25 years. Their top 11 quarterbacks in the last 25 years. I'm going to name the 11. 10 of them, Wade, won Super Bowls.
Wow.
I'm going to name the last 25 years, the top 11 quarterbacks, 10 of them have won Super Bowls. Russell Wilson at 11. Donovan McNabb is the only one who hasn't. Then Ben Roethlisberger, 2. Then Kurt Warner, he's won one, got to another. Steve Young, he's won one. Aaron Rodgers, he's got one. Elway's got 2. Drew Brees has 1. Brett Favre has 1. Peyton Manning has 2. And, of course, Tom has 6. That's what happens in the league. When you have elite quarterbacks, even when you have the greatest dynasty arguably going on, they still win them. And when I look at that, and I look at Deshaun Watson, and I think he is an elite quarterback, and I know Patrick Mahomes is in this league, he ain't going to win 7. I tell you that right now. He ain't going to win 7 Super Bowls. And the kid is great, and he's got Andy Reid and everything that Warren Moon said. Deshaun's going to get one. He is. And when you look at that, they all win them. They all the elite ones in the last 25 years win them, Wade.
They figure out a way. I mean, teams will get an elite quarterback, build around them, and eventually they keep knocking on the door and they get through. John Elway took him a long time to get there, but eventually, I mean, he got there, but he didn't win them. But it took him a long time to get to the point where he won the Super Bowl, but eventually did it because he was elite talent. He was elite quarterback. Same thing with Peyton Manning. It took him a while, but eventually he got there. Now, the game has changed a bit, and it's different with the salary cap and the amount of money guys are getting paid and the amount of money quarterbacks are getting paid. So it makes it more difficult. It makes you say, hey, we need to hurry up and win this soon as possible, because once you pay Deshaun, you're on the clock, and it's very difficult to put the pieces around him that you might like, because you're just running into the fact that you don't have as much room to operate. But at the end of the day, Deshaun Watson is one of those talents that I think that overcomes any other issues that might be there. And I think he'll figure out a way to get it done. And, you know, people say that, you know, you might be, you're crowning Deshaun Watson. You're putting him up to a regard or to esteem that he really hasn't earned yet. I've watched him week by week. I've seen this guy play and have bad games, and I've seen him have exceptional games. I've seen him make exceptional plays that I've never seen anybody else make. And I've seen him make the exceptional play and make the consistent play. All of the stuff, when you put it all together and you put his ability to figure out to win ball games, it tells me he's going to win a Super Bowl. When you watch week one of the NFL season and you watch the battle back and forth between the New Orleans Saints and the Houston Texans, when he throws the touchdown pass to Kenny Stills, 99 out of 100 times, you win that game. Everybody felt like the game was over. You won that game. And he made the throws and made the plays to make that happen. Those type of things,
yep,
average quarterbacks don't make. Good quarterbacks really don't make those throws. Those were elite throws in a clutch situation, in a clutch gene, and ability to make plays when the things are the tightest and the most pressure packed. There is something to be said for that. And all the quarterbacks that you named on that list all have that trait and that ability to make the throws when it matters the most. And so Deshaun Watson is just another one of those guys that he's going to win a Super Bowl here in Houston.
Yep. Someone on the text line going in, you're going to tell me he's better than Aaron Rodgers? He was better than Aaron Rodgers last year. And if I had to bet, seeing the decline of Aaron Rodgers, and I think Aaron Rodgers is still a top 10 quarterback, yes, I would put money on Deshaun Watson moving forward, including next year, that he's a better he'll be a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
If you only put 3 quarterbacks in front of him, then he's elite. That just is, unless you're just saying it was a down year for quarterbacks. I wouldn't say that at all. It was a huge year for quarterbacks, and it was a huge awakening for young quarterbacks in the NFL, because 2 out of the 3 guys you named, or actually 3, all of the guys that you said were better than him, these guys have been in the league either, what, how many years has Russell been in the league? 7 years or less?
Like eight years.
8 years, but Russell still seems young to me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But Russell Wilson is the oldest guy on the list. He's the old head, but you had Pat Mahomes, and you had Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson all in that same upper echelon category. That's a good spot to be in as a franchise, to have a guy like that this calling the plays.
Yep. A NFL writer, James Palmer, has a vision for the Texans. We'll see if Wade Smith agrees with this vision. We'll get into that next. Clint's out today. Ron, the show, Hughley, Wade Smith in with you. James Palmer of NFL Network, he does great work. He put out a piece about the Texans and the new offense of the Texans and how it could look. Also, he was on with Payne and Pendergast, the best damn morning show in all of Houston. You can catch them every day from 6 to 10. You can check that out also on the radio.com app. And during the break, heck, you can use one of the best features they have, the radio.com rewind, to go back and listen to that and catch that interview. But wait, it's interesting, the vision and the theory that he has for the offense. And it's very similar to how I view it if it's done right.
Yeah, man. Like, listen, James Palmer put this article together. He did a great job of putting it together. Just talking about the multiple options that the Houston Texans have now at the skill position, especially at the receiver position now. You got Brandon Cooks in the fold, Randall Cobb, of course, Steeles and Fuller coming back. And then you got the running back situation of Johnson and Johnson. Tight end situation where you got guys like Kalia Wearing coming back, you might get some juice out of him. And you have, of course, Akins and Fells at the tight end position. Those guys give you a multitude of options. And so they're saying they want to spread the ball all over the place. They want to be multiple. They want to be able to be like Bruce Lee. They want to be like water. They want to be able to adapt to any and every situation. And so there's something to be said for that. I see that vision, and it makes sense. The question is the execution of it. Are they going to be able to utilize all those guys correctly and get the most out of them so that the team can be the ultimate success and be a better offense than what they had in the past? Because that's, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Can this offense progress and be better this year than what it was last year? Because if that happens, then Bill O'Brien in that regard would be proven right. Because we talked about it earlier in the show about the fact of like, hey, the Houston Texans are trying to figure out a way to get to the point where Bill O'Brien can say, stand on the table and say, I told y'all I was right. Well, if the offense gets better and if the offense gets better now, then people are going to say, all right, well, he was right. It was better to trade away DeAndre Hopkins, and it was better to have multiple receivers, and you can plug a guy in once one of the receivers goes down and it's not that big of a drop off. And so that's what they're going for and to try to make happen. It'd just be interesting to see if it can come to fruition. And I actually want to hear from Houston. Do y'all believe in this vision? Because I think there's a lot of people out there, and there's more people than you might think, that believe, you know what, the best way to do it is with multiple parts. You have two or three guys or three or four guys that can do the same thing as opposed to one or two. So, you know, Houston, H-Town, do y'all believe? Do y'all believe that the Texans got it right and this vision is on point and that the Texans offense is going to be better than what it was last year? Because there's a legitimate shot for that to be the case.
Hell no, they don't believe. I'll say it before they even start answering. You can go ahead and bring it in. I've already been told and asked to die on the text line today, so I can tell you right now, Wade, and from what we've heard, they don't believe. But I think in theory, as you said, legit, they should. I see the direction and how this can work, right? I've brought this up. Matthew Stafford had Calvin Johnson, one of the best receivers we've seen in the last however many years. Hell, just one of the best receivers ever. Calvin Johnson, they didn't win a ton with him. He retires the next year. They have a more well-rounded group. They go to the playoffs. Like, we've seen it happen before. This is, to me, what I believe, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, Wade. This is what I believe the vision is. All, if we could strip it down to the most easiest way we can look at it, all right, strip it all down. To me, the vision of the offense should be and always should have been, as soon as he became a part of this team, is how can we get – to Deshaun Watson at his absolute best. How can we do that? And many people have a hard time understanding how you could do that by trading DeAndre Hopkins, but I believe it is what the thinking was from them. Some may say it's personal, and if you believe that, I think you have a valid reason to. Some people believe it's money, and if you believe that, I think you have a valid reason to. Hell, I think it could have been a piece of some of those things. But I also think you can't throw away, Wade, that the thought was, how can we get Deshaun at his best? And to me now, unquestionable, this is his offense, and it should be done through his eyes and what he does best. And when you give him a full array of weapons that there is no crutch or no forcing to, or no, all right, I gotta subconsciously get the ball to my guy. I gotta know. When you have this set, this to me, in theory, could now see us get the best out of Deshaun Watson, an elite quarterback and a top four quarterback last year. And I'll say it, I don't give a damn if you don't agree. All right. I think he was elite and a top four quarterback last year, and I think he can get better this year. And if that is the theory, I can go along with that. But many people have a hard time envisioning how you could see the best him without Hopkins.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, when you look at the way the team has been put together, you got Deshaun Watson is at the helm now, and you have all these multiple parts. I get it. I get how someone would say, you know what, the sum of all parts is better than one significant one. But my thing is, when I remember watching the Texans play over the past 4 or 5 years, or it just, we'll just look at last year alone, I don't ever remember thinking to myself, damn, why does Deshaun keep throwing the ball to Hop? Like, he's not open. He's not making plays. Why is he forcing it to him? There's somebody else open that he should be throwing the ball to. I never saw that. I never felt that. That never came across. So, in theory, when you put all those ducks in a row and you say it and you put those words into the air, it makes sense. Like, yeah, it makes sense, because if you take that one guy that he always threw the ball to and you take him away and you give him multiple options and he's forced to spread it around, everything is going to be better. But that's not the reality of what it was last year. I don't remember watching the Texans and saying, why the hell is he throwing it to Hop? I remember watching him saying, why the hell is he not throwing it to Hop? You know what I mean? Even though he got all those targets, it's a misconception with those targets, because a lot of times the number two and the number three receiver was not in the ball game. They weren't there. They physically were not there.
Good point.
When Will Fuller was on the field, he got his targets. That's why he was so productive when he was on the field. But he's got to be on the field. You can't hold it against a guy for being there every week and say, well, he's throwing the ball to him all the time. He's the guy that can make plays and get open. So I think one thing doesn't have to do with the other. I think that this offense can be successful the way it's set up now, because they have multiple guys. Because Brandon Cooks is a damn good football player. That's the part that I think people are kind of missing.
Good.
Like, Brandon Cooks is a damn good football player. Randall Cobb can play in slot. That's a good player. You know what I mean? We know what Fuller and Steels can do when they're on the field. It's just, all right, are we going to take advantage of all these guys? And there's concern, because you've seen it in the past where you've got talented players and you're not using them. Duke Johnson needs to be utilized more. He wasn't used enough last year. Doesn't make any sense. You gave up a third-round pick for him. Utilize him. You got him for a year or two. If you're a running back, run him into the ground. Throw him the ball into the ground. They better do that with David Johnson this year. You're paying him $10 million. He's got to get his touches for it to make sense. And so that's the part that you're trying to figure out. But like I said, when people talk about Hopkins and they had to force him the ball, no. I don't ever remember thinking to myself, you know what? Hop ain't open. Why are we throwing the ball? And the text line is over here talking about Hopkins is a slow poke and all that type of stuff. Just go back and look at Deshaun Watson's highlights this year. Every time I look up, because the NFL does an excellent job of posting Deshaun Watson highlights, which was awesome to see. Every time I look up, DeAndre Hopkins catching a ball that's an explosive play. It's 25 or more yards. And so I'm like, but I thought he was slow. What's going on? Like, I could have sworn that we talked about earlier in the show today that the Saints game, when they made those two throws, to one play was to Hopkins, the next play to Steele. Both of those were explosive plays. But if he's slow, how is he getting past Lattimore, who's a damn good corner? Like, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, this guy's so slow. So I just – Let's focus on what the offense can do based on the players they have now, not based off of, well, we got better since we got rid of that guy, because I don't think that's the case. Two things don't line up to me.
No, let's focus on what you just said, because you brought up, I think, very arguable points, right? And I'm not saying that you don't make any sense with that, but you don't think that does not create a hindrance to the quarterback that is growing, that he just – there was a focus. Man, I'm sorry, man, 150-something targets. There's a focus, Jack. And, maybe you could say some of it's injuries. Somebody's getting 150, 170 targets. Like, that's a focus going somewhere. And when you have a quarterback that has a bunch of skills, that has great vision, that can look at everybody. You saw him at Clemson. Mike Williams was involved. Leggett, the Hunter Winfrey. I mean, he got it to everybody. And, like, to me, when you have a more well-rounded group, I look at that and I think there is an argument to say, with him being so focused potentially on one guy, because you had to say it was the amount of way, how many times he would get the ball, and the offense being so focused towards one guy, it's hard for me to say, damn, we're seeing the best out of Deshaun Watson.
I tell you what, Sean, you made a great point when you said when Watson was in Clemson and he distributed the ball all over the place, right? That's a great point, because they did do that there. There wasn't just one guy they focused on. But this is the difference. At Clemson, Deshaun Watson ran the ball on a consistent basis, right? And the whole idea of an offense is not to find the person, I want to get the ball to this certain person a certain amount of times. It's to move the chains, right? You're trying to get first downs. And the Texans don't utilize Deshaun Watson's feet anywhere near the same way that they did when he was
totally
at Clemson.
Agree.
And so because of that, now if you're moving the chains by running RPOs and he's getting you 12 yards and sliding, or he's running out of bounds, or he might get tackled, whatever it may be, you're moving the chains, the amount of targets go down for all the receivers, right? Well, the Texans, they were more concerned about protecting Deshaun, which to a degree I understand that. But you got to utilize his feet more so that he's moving the chains with his feet, and it opens up everything else. And so that's a step that we talk about the vision of this offense, and they talk about spreading the ball around. I need to hear them talking about utilizing Deshaun's feet more. When they start using his feet more, that's when the offense goes to a completely different level. But I haven't really heard that part yet. But yeah, I think you make a good point when you talk about the fact that at Clemson there was a lot of different targets that he went to.
I think the big point to this is, you would agree, and for whatever reasons, you would agree that this offense, with what they've had, has not reached the potential that they should be.
No
they've
question.
Never been a top 10 offense under Bill O'Brien, and I think they should be. And to me, the step has to be, how can we get our best player better? How can we open up to make this offense more geared and in the hands of our best player, right? And him making the decisions. And I know you would say he can do that with DeAndre Hopkins. Man, they got a special relationship. They know each other. I think it was going to be very, very hard to see the best Deshaun Watson with DeAndre Hopkins on the team. I personally believe that. I think it's hard for him to shake that relationship to go there. Because even if you say he wasn't forcing him, the damn defense lined up and covered the Texans in a way where they were pushing coverage towards him, and they were still throwing it to him and not taking advantage of everything.
But, Sean, that's because they had to, though, because you got to understand, when Will Fuller played, he got his targets. When he didn't play, that's when you had the issue. First and foremost, 10 targets a game for a number one receiver is not ridiculous. That's not crazy. Because you said it was 160 targets. I don't know the exact number. 153 targets, 160 targets, 16 games. That's 10 targets a game. That's not a ridiculous number. That's a legit number. That's a good number, I think. So I don't agree with that whole premise that by him taking DeAndre Hopkins away, that's going to help him get better. To me, surrounding him with as many weapons as possible is what's going to make him better. Can he potentially get – he was going to get better regardless. That's the thing. Deshaun Watson is what, year four? He's going to get better regardless.
So you don't see anything in that with their relationship. Like, if Deshaun got there first, that's a different thing to me. But there's something to me with that relationship where dude, there's just going to be a feel that he's better. One, he's better than everybody else, and that's my dude. And I gotta get the ball over there. And it's Deshaun as the quarterback. But if this makes sense, Wade, I get the feeling this was DeAndre's offense in terms of leadership. This was his offense, and because Deshaun respected him so much, I think it's just going to be hard. I know it sounds funky and weird to many people, but to get the best out of Deshaun to where he was like at Clemson, where he was in control of that offense and he was making their, to me, their relationship lends towards a potential forcing of, subconsciously or not, like I gotta take care of my dude. I gotta get there. I gotta get it to him. And I think there was something there. I just think when we watch defenses, Wade, the way they will cover the Texans will be more honest and will be different than it was with the Texans. That would just always kill me. I saw coverage roll to him, and they're still throwing the ball that way the bulk of the way. And that would just –
But the other people want to open, show. That's my thing. Like, if I'm a defensive coordinator, and I am a defensive coordinator, it's at a younger level. But if I'm a defensive coordinator and you don't have a player that I have to double team, I love that. I can be balanced on defense. I can blitz from any angle. I can do what I want to do because I don't have to focus on one guy as far as sending an extra guy to cover him. You see what I'm saying? So to me, the fact that Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins had a great relationship is not the reason why the Texans' offense wasn't top 10 last year or top 5. That's not the reason why. They had the horses. It's the game plan offense. It's the fact that one week you can put up 30, 40 points, the next week you can put up 10 because you figured the best way to beat that particular team was to slow everything down and not be as explosive or not being as have the tempo that you might have used the week before. That's the reason why the offense wasn't what it was supposed to be. It wasn't because of their relationship. I don't see that. And every time that I would speak to him or any conversation that I would have with Hop or hear him talk to media about Hop and Will Fuller, when Will Fuller was drafted, the first person to tweet it was Hop. Yes, I got somebody that could take the dang pressure off of me. You know what I mean? He was excited about that. If you would have brought in another receiver like Cooks or Cobb, whatever, Hop is not going to be like, well, damn, I ain't getting my touches. Receivers get mad. Diva receivers get mad they don't get their touches when they lose because they didn't get their touches. There's been games where Will Fuller just went the hell off. And you know what? Hop was like, hell yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm happy for him. It makes my job that much easier. So I just – that narrative, I can't rock with that narrative. I don't think that's the case.
All right. We had a good rumble back and forth on that. I enjoyed that. Coming up, hey, Wade thinks Bill O'Brien's got a chance to put – well, I won't stay nasty, but Bill O'Brien's got a chance to jump up on the table and tell everybody, your asses was wrong and I was right. We'll get into that coming up next.